Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2x Update Installer UPDI Validator Utility. Today's presenter is Max Terpolilli. Max is an advisory software engineer who joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 team about 6 years ago. He works closely with customers and development to drive WPG products to succeed in the marketplace. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Max.
Yes, thank you, Joseph, and hello to our audience. This presentation focuses on a new feature released to help the WebSphere Partner Gateway user to install, configure, validate, and run the product's UPDI. Let's just start going to the next slide to take a look at the content of this presentation, slide number 2. Okay, this is the table of contents, which is divided in the following sections. We start with an overview of the UPDI utility. Then we'll take a look at prerequisites needed. Next, we'll have the core of this presentation, a lecture section to see how the utility can be installed, deployed, and used. After the lecture, we'll have two labs. The first one to show a practical application of the concepts seen in the lecture, and a second lab to show the application of an actual hyperfix on both the deployment manager and the hub. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 3. In a nutshell, the tasks performed by the WPG UPDI validator utility are the setup of the WPG UPDI, the deploy in the WPG console of the UPDI validator changes, and validate and update the response file attribute values. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 4. The prerequisites that need to be in place to use this utility are quite basic, basically. You have to have the WPG installed, of course, in any mode you choose, simple or distributed. Then you have to download the latest version of the WebSphere UPDI, which, of course, has to be specific to your operating system platform. And then you have to download the WPG UPDI. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 5. Okay, now that we have settled on the prerequisites, we can proceed on to download the WPG UPDI validator utility, which is available for the product's latest versions, 6.2.0 and 6.2.1, at the links specified in this slide. The top one is concerning the WPG 6.2.0, and the bottom one is the link to download the UPDI validator for WPG 6.2.1. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 6. Once the zip file is downloaded, proceed with the unzip and point to the WPG install location, which is typically something like BCG hub-distrib or BCG hub-simple. These are the default directory names. Of course, during the installation, you can change that. The unzip operation will create a new folder named UPDI validator and populate it with the utility files and subfolders. In addition to that, the ANSIP will also copy a couple of scripts in the WPG existing bin folder, as you can see in the last part of the slide, and which are basically the batch file that starts the utility. Okay, let's go to the next slide, slide number 7. At this point, we're just about ready to use the utility. And the next question is, how do I use it? Okay, you can run it in one of the three modes listed in this chart, config, deploy, and verify. In the next slides, we will go through what each of these modes imply. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 8. Okay, let's start with the config mode. You're going to run the UPDI validation in config mode right after you download and unzip it. What the config mode does is to set up the WPG UPDI for both Deployment Manager and Hub. So you run the utility in the Deployment Manager location first, and then in all Hub locations, of course. Running the script in config mode creates the WPG UPDI properties and response files, folders, and all associated files and subfolders. Last but not least, the note at the bottom of the slide is to remind that if you have WPG UPDI already in working order, then you would not need to run this mode, the config mode, of course. A typical example of this situation is if your WPG level is at 6 to 1, that means that you have to have the UPDI already configured in order to install the 6 to 1 upgrade, which installs just like a fixed pack on top of 6 to 0. So in that case, the UPDI is already configured and there is no need to run the validator in config mode. Okay, let's go to the next slide, slide number 9. Here we have the very specific steps the user needs to perform to run in config mode. You have to create a UPDI folder under the common file system. Then copy in that directory the WPG UPDI zip that you downloaded as we've seen in the prerequisite slide. In case your database is Oracle, you have to do an additional operation. That is, you will need to copy the OBDC jar driver or the classes.zip as well. This is only if you have Oracle. There is no need to copy the JDBC driver if your database is DB2. You're now ready to run the UPDI validator from the bin directory of the Deployment Manager or Hub location. And you'll be using a very simple syntax. The name of the script, and then add config as the only input parameter. So basically, UPDI validator, if you are on Windows batch, bat, then space config, or if you are in a Unix environment, you'll run the shell, and again, you'll supply the config as a parameter. When the program starts, it will ask for the common file system absolute path for input. So you have to provide that input for the utility. Once you supply that, the config mode proceeds to be extracting the WPG UPDI zip in the WPG install location. And just FYI, the program produces logs, and they're available right in the update validator folder. Okay, we can move now on to slide number 10. Now, let's take a look at the second parameter you can use with this UPDI utility, that is deploy. To better understand the usage of the deploy attribute, I think it is best to make a quick preamble. One of the features added by this utility is the possibility to manage the UPDI attributes using the WPG Community Console. So the user would not need to go into the actual response files to manually enter the parameter values like basically they had to do before this utility was released. Now, with this understanding, we use the deploy mode to populate the database, and consequently we'll make those values visible to the user through the WPG console. This attribute's value will then be entered in the response file. Typically, you will run the deploy mode only once, that is, when you first install the utility to transfer the response file attribute values from the file itself to the database. After that, the user must update the response file attributes values only using the WPG console. As the note points out, you run deploy mode for the deployment manager location if you are in a distributed mode, in which case you need to make sure that the nodes are up and running. If you're not in a distributed mode, then you will be running from the hub location. Of course, in this last case, you will have to make sure that the WPG hub itself must be running. Okay, let's go to the next slide, slide number 11. And here we have the very specific steps the user needs to perform to run in deploy mode. You have, of course, already created the UPDI folder under the common file system, and you also have copied the WPG UPDI zip as part of the config step. So we can proceed on to run the UPDI validator from the bin directory of the deployment manager or the hub location, and you will be running it the same way as with software config. You just change the parameter that you specify after the name of the utility, which is, in this case, deploy. After you start the utility, the program will ask for two inputs, the database credentials, that is the schema user and its password, and then the SOAP port. Once the program terminates, you need to restart the BCG console application server for the changes to take effect. And same as we saw for the config mode, the program produces, of course, logs under the UPDI validator folder. So for anything you can check, or if there are errors, you can contact the WPG support for it. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 12. We're now at the third and last parameter you can use with the UPDI utility, which is verify. To better understand the usage of the verify attribute, I think it is best to make a you know, a quick preamble, which we saw earlier also for the deploy mode, which is the feature added by the utility is to manage the UPDI attributes using the WPG console. So when you use the verify mode to populate the database with the attributes values entered in the response file, the verify mode basically verifies and copies the response file attributes values to the database. And after that, like I mentioned earlier, you won't need to manually handle those values through the response files, but only through the console. Two cases are possible, basically. The first one is when the UPDI is already set up and has already been used successfully to install the WPG patches, which means that all the values, all the attributes, everything is the way it should, it is correct. The second case is when the UPDI was set up using the UPDI validator config mode. In this case, the user needs to update the response file attributes values using the new console panel for the UPDI, which is located under the System Administrator tab. Once you have entered the correct values, you're supposedly in the same shape as in the first case and can run the UPDI validator in verify mode the same way. And we'll see in the next slide just the way you run it. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 13. Same as we saw before, you just run validator from the bin directory and supply verify as the only parameter. Go to the next slide, slide number 14. Okay, this is the last chart of this lecture part before we dive into the lab slides. And it also includes a few items the user should be aware of. And that is, if your database is Oracle, the application owner name and group name need to be verified manually. Then when using the deploy or verify mode, you may see some worse warnings or even errors messages. And typically, these messages do not impact the validator execution. Next, you have to make sure that the common file system is mounted before running the validator in config or verify mode. One more thing is if you're a Unix user, always remember that you have to give the executable permission for the UPDI files. The last thing is, basically this ends the first part of the lecture, of this presentation. As we will see, the second part contains a lab from a practical application of what we just discussed in this section. So let's go into the lab. Next slide, slide number 15. Okay. So this is the lab number one. The Community Console Welcome panel reported in this slide shows that WPG 6.2.0 has been just installed. So at this stage, we want to use the UPDI validator to set up the WPG UPDI so that we can install 6.2.1, for example. So the first step is to download both the WPG UPDI package, the validator utility. Also, to be remembered, you are, of course, supposed to have the WAS UPDI already installed, which, I mean, should be obvious, should be a given, because you have to use it to apply the WAS maintenance. So you basically have to focus on the two things that you need for WPG, which is, again, the WPG UPDI package and the validator utility. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 16. Okay, so we're at the second step of this lab, and this step is about extracting the validator zip in the deployment manager and hub locations. As you can see from the pictures in this slide, the extraction creates a new update UPDI validator subdirectory and adds the UPDI validator scripts in the existing bin folder. So there is a new subfolder created with all the scripts and parts that are needed for the utility. In addition to that, the utility startup script is added in your existing bin folder. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 17. And this is, as you can see from the title, the third step, step number 3, in which case we create the UPDI subdirectory in the common file system. And after we created that folder, we copy the WPG UPDI zip in it. Okay. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 18. Okay, we are now ready to run our first mode, which is the config mode. When you run the config mode, you of course will start the script just by, you know, supplying the name of the utility UPDI validator from the bin folder and add the parameter config. Once this starts, the user is asked for two inputs. The first one is the path to the common file system. And the second input is the database type. Once the execution completes, the properties and the response file subfolders are created. The bin folder is updated with the validator script. Okay. So we can move on to the next slide, slide number 19. And here we are at our next step, step number 5 of this lab, which is about the deploy mode. Once we start the deploy mode, the program will ask for a few more inputs than what we saw in for config. In this case, we're going to need to provide the database type, the application database host name, the database port, the application database name, as well as user and password. And concerning WAS, we need to know the SOAP port number, of course. Okay, as you can see, the execution of the deploy mode triggers some warning messages from WAS, which, I mean, they can typically be ignored. This, however, you will see at the end whether the run of the utility was successful or not. If you look at the very last line, you will see the successful completion of the deploy mode. And once that happens, it will result in a new panel added in the community console, which can be used to update the attribute values in the response file. And you can see that in the slide right next to the command prompt window. That is the new panel added in the console where the user can access to update the response file values. One thing to remember is after you run the update, the UPDI validator in deploy mode, in order for that panel to show up in the console, you have to restart the console application server so that the update can take effect. Okay, so yes, we can move on to the next slide, slide number 20. Okay, and we are now at the last step, that is the verify mode. Once you start the verify mode, there is only one input that is required from the user, which is the common file system path. Just for the sake of test, I intentionally assigned an incorrect value for the MAS database. So I just put an incorrect database name in the response file. And the verify caught the error and reported to the user. As you can see, I put a yellow circle in the command prompt. That's where the utility, you know, highlighted the error. Now, although the name was in error, I mean, it will still put it in the console to let you know. So now what the user is supposed to do is to manually correct that as we can see in the next slide. So let's go on and go to the slide number 21. So what I did is to go to the, you know, to the console and go in edit mode for that panel to edit the properties panel and replace the incorrect BCG MAS name with the correct name. Next, you'll have to rerun the verify mode as shown in the right side of the slide, where you basically rename the current response file and create the new one containing the update attribute value. So now we have the response file with the correct values in the deployment manager location. The next slide shows the same process that you have to perform for the hub. This is in case you have a distributed installation. Let's go on to the next slide, slide number 22. We're at step 6C, and here we run the verify mode to update the response file in the hub location with the attribute values shown in the console. This slide concludes, basically, with this slide we conclude the second part of this presentation, that is the lab to install the update validator and then run the config, deploy, and verify modes. The third and the last section of this presentation concerns the actual use of the WPG UPDI to install an actual six pack. In our case, in my case here, I installed the 6-to-1 six pack on the 6-to-0 base. So let's go on and go to the next slide, slide number 23. Before applying the 6-to-1 upgrade, we need to install the UPDI prerequisite APAR, the JR38213, on both the deployment manager and hub. This slide shows the deployment manager step. So first, point your UPDI panel to the directory path where the WPG deployment manager is installed. So navigate the UPDI panel to the directory where the maintenance is, and then select to install the JR38213 prerequisite APAR. When this installation is completed, the UPDI panel will prompt the results, as you can see from the success string in green characters. Also, you can verify the successful maintenance installation running the BCG history script. And you can see all these steps in the four screenshots that are in in this slide. So the first panel will show you that you point to the directory where the deployment manager is installed. Then the next panel on your right-hand side, the top on the right-hand side, where you select the hyperfix to install. Then the bottom left panel shows you the successful installation, and you can double-check that running the BCG history, as you can see in the command prompt screenshot on the bottom right screenshot. Okay, so we can move on to the next slide, slide number 24. All right, after installing the UPDI prerequisite APAR JR38213 on both the deployment manager, you can proceed on to install the 6-to-1 six-pack upgrade, which is no different than what we saw in the previous slide. You still have to point your UPDI panel to the directory path where the WPG deployment manager is installed. Then you have to navigate the UPDI panel to the directory where the maintenance is, and you have to select to install the 6-to-1 fixpack. You might want to notice that the JR38213 prerequisite is now grayed out because it has already been installed in our previous step. Then, again, you wait for the installation completion. And once it successfully installed, you basically can double-check that running the BCG history from the bin folder. Okay, let's go to the next slide, slide number 25. Okay, so here it's basically the same exact operation we saw in the previous two slides. What we did for the deployment manager in the previous two slides, we have to repeat here for each hub node. The only difference in this case is that you have to point the product selection to the hub directory path rather than the deployment manager path like we did before. All the rest is the same. You have to apply the prerequisite paper first. You have to wait for the success completion of the application. You can double check it with the BCG history. All the rest basically stays the same. And in this slide is shown the application of the prerequisite paper on the hub. So let's go now to the next slide, slide number 26, which shows the application of the six-pack on the hub. So you will go again and select the hub location, then go to the maintenance location, select the APAR. Again, notice that the prerequisite APAR will be grayed out. You wait for the successful completion, and you can double-check, verify it with the BCG history as shown in the command prompt screenshot. Okay, we can move on. This basically concludes the presentation. We have one more slide, slide number 27, which is just to mention some additional WebSphere product resources. Basically, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for the WebSphere products. You can visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. This site is to learn more about the upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast, like the one you attended today. And you can also access previously recorded presentations. Then there is the Developer Works, which offers in-depth technical information. You can visit the WebSphere usergroup.org for user group information and more product information. Then the IBM Education Assistant, which consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. And then we have the SR tool, which is for Passport Advantage client to open, update, and view PMRs online. And finally, the My Notification link on all product supported support pages, which lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Basically, this is the end of the presentation. Joseph?
Thank you, Max, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have no questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And it looks like we don't have anything coming in through the group chat either. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.